things. We can't do what we once did. And I will not have you raise your hand because I'm assuming there's a whole lot of you here that would realize you can't do what you used to do. I used to be able to go out and run a 6-minute mile, and I wouldn't even be panting when I was done with a 6-minute mile. Now, I wasn't much faster than that, but I could go and run a 6-minute mile when the coach was saying, "Hey, you guys need to run this mile," and I'd run a 6-minute mile, and he would be mad at me because I wasn't even breathing heavy. And he's like, "You weren't even trying." And I'm like, "Well, I actually was, but for some reason at that point, my lungs weren't too bad." Now I run about an 8-minute and 30-second mile, and I'm huffing and puffing when I'm done. And my heart rate's about 180. And so this is not real good. So like I used to be, I can't do what I once did. However, I do know there's a lot of things that I still can do. But I also understand there's a lot of people who physically cannot do what they used to do. One of the things I heard a lot when I first came here is because we had some older folks in our church was that we can't go door knocking. We physically can't go door knocking. I can't walk up and down the hills. I can't walk up and down the steps. And I said, okay, I understand that 100%. These guys are dealing with things. These people are dealing with things that I'm not dealing with. I deal with that. I understand that 100%. Now I'm starting to experience some of those things myself, that what happens after you walk up steps for hours, you know, or what you're when you're walking up hills, what happens to your legs and what happens to your lungs and all those kind of things. And so this morning, I want to make sure that we hit this home, that there is a reality of life where sometimes life just gets in the way. Has life ever gotten in the way for you? Yeah. Life just gets in the way. Now, by all means, there are some people, at least we have one young man that likes to come to our church that is in the hospital this morning. I don't expect the ambulance to bring him here to the church and be here. He's in the hospital. Life got in the way. Folks who are deathly ill. I mean, literally, they're on their, they feel like they're on their deathbed. I mean, if you're here this morning and you have the stomach virus, or you're not here this morning, but you've had the stomach virus, you know what it's like. And man, you can't get out of the bathroom. I wouldn't expect you to be here. You know what happened? Life got in the way. However, I do think some of the excuses that come in are, well, my nose was running yesterday. Okay. A lot of people's noses run. Was anything else going on? Well, not really. I just didn't want to pass it along to anybody else. Well, you sound fine. You look fine. Sometimes those things can be used as excuses. If you're coming to, you have bronchitis and you're coughing, what we call coughing up a lung, which isn't really very appealing to think about, but if I'm coughing up a lung, I wouldn't expect you to come to church because life got in the way. However, if you've already had the antibiotics and you've been better for the last 3 weeks, you're still just not coming, that's an excuse. Are you with me? I'm not getting much response. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? Life sometimes gets in the way. And there's no way you can make it. By all means, almost 3 years ago now, I missed church two weeks. I missed two Sundays. And that's not very typical for me. But I missed two Sundays because I couldn't even walk to the park to the church. Life got in the way. However, I got better. God blessed and allowed me to get better. And as a result of that, now I'm not using excuses for not being in church. Today I'm saying, okay, I'm better. I can go to church today. I'm physically okay. A lot of times people will use any excuse. You know, Junior, his nose is running. So we all need to stay home and blow his nose. That's an excuse. Somebody could come to church. Now, I understand, and by all means, I'll even give you this one, and I know we run into this sometime in our church. I know sometimes when it's bad, the weather's bad, guys don't like, if the guy's sick and their wife, they can drive, but they don't want them driving in the snow or in the bad weather, I can understand that. Guess what happened? Life got in the way. The problem is what happens with some people is when that happens, they say, well, I don't want my wife driving, I'm sick, I don't want my wife driving in the snow. Well, the next time it happens, you're sick and the weather's beautiful and you don't want your wife driving. That's an excuse. You're getting to the point where, you know, hey, you could be here. Somebody could be here. Some of the kids could be here. Not everybody needs to blow Johnny's nose. Johnny will be okay with mama staying home blowing Johnny's nose. Okay? Are we clear on some of that? But I will give you this. If you're dealing with some physical struggle, some physical battle, and you cannot get out of your house and it's legit, hey, life got in the way. Does that happen? Yes. Am I okay with that as a pastor? 100%. You know what I'm not okay with a pastor as a pastor? Is when people stay out of church after they've been out for a week or two because they were sick and they never come back, or they don't come back consistently like they once did. That I don't believe is biblical. That I don't believe is scriptural. And that's where I believe people many times are missing out on the fellowship and the relationship with God's people that they need. So we're not talking about the excuses today. We're talking about when life gets in the way. What do we do? What can we do? What can I do for Jesus Christ when life really gets in the way? When some ailment that I have really gets in the way? And this morning what I want to do is try to encourage you. And I'm not talking about just older folks. And some of you say, well, you're just going to be preaching to the older folks. No, I'm talking about younger folks. I'm talking about any one of us who something happens, something gets in the way. What can we do when life gets in the way? Because we can't do what we normally do, what can we do instead? And what I want to try to get us all to do today is to think outside the box. I know that's a common cliche, but to think outside the box. Inside the box, what we tend to think of is, if we're healthy, every Christian should be reading their Bible. Okay, we got one check mark. If you're healthy and everything's going well, every Christian should be praying. If you're healthy, things are going well, you're able to get out of your house, every Christian ought to be at church. If we're healthy, we're doing well, every Christian ought to be rejoicing in the Lord. They ought to be praising God. But what do we do when we're not healthy? What do we do when we just lost a loved one? We had the funeral on Saturday, and all of our family is there, and maybe there's just you're just so hurt and you're so dealing with this that you just can't make it that Sunday. We've had that happen a lot of times in our church. I will say this, I have found that a lot of times when somebody loses a loved one and they just don't want to go to church, the best thing they can do is go to church. However, if the situation and the circumstances for some reason, if all you're going to do is come to church and bawl profusely or cry to, you know, at the top of your lungs, it may not be the best situation, and I understand that. We would not want you to be embarrassed. We would not want to embarrass you. So sometimes those things happen. However, next week, you probably need to be in church. No matter how much it hurts, no matter how difficult it is, God's house is where we need to be. But things come up. Things happen. And if there's anyone as a pastor that I think is understanding when things come up, it's me. I understand. I know Chantel's many times has had to, not able to be here. She wasn't able to teach Sunday school class because Granny was going into the hospital or Granny needed her at home. No, Chantel, you need to be here. Who cares about Granny? No, I've never said that to anyone. Granny needs to be taken care of. And Chantel needs to stay with Grandma. Do you know what? You know one of the reasons why I know some people sometimes complain that, oh, he doesn't have everything all, he's all planned out and all these things prepared. You know why? Sometimes it's so that we can learn how to adjust when things happen. What would happen next week if I'm sick in the hospital on my deathbed and I didn't have anything planned out for somebody to fill in? Why would I plan for somebody to fill in for me when I plan to be here? What do? When those things happen, we adjust. So when Chantel misses Sunday school class, typically Mrs. Brindley just fills in. I hate to tell you this, she didn't have all week to prepare because she didn't know Chantel wasn't going to be here. But she still will be faithful to go and teach the Sunday school class because she's willing to be flexible. And that's part of reality, because things happen. Sometimes we come to church and we're down to our fourth string piano player. And our fourth string piano player comes in. You know what she does? She makes mistakes. But we have to be flexible. We're flexible with her mistakes, and everybody knows I make mistakes leading music, so the pianist had to be learn to be a little bit flexible. But when life gets in the way, what do? Is there really anything we can do for Jesus when life gets in the way? Here's the biggest excuse that we have. Well, I was really sick, so I can't do anything for the Lord this week. Okay, let's look at some things today that maybe we could do when we're down and out that may cause us to think just a little bit outside the box. The book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, I want you to notice here in a very familiar story that you're all going to recognize. Acts chapter 15, in verse 25. The first point I want you to see this morning is, what do we do when life gets in the way in the prison cell? Anybody here this morning, you don't have to raise your hand, ever felt like somehow in life you felt like you were in a cell, a prison cell? I feel like I'm boxed in. I feel like I'm confined. I feel like there's nothing I can do about this situation other than pray. Notice Paul and Silas. I believe there's more we can do when we're boxed in than just pray. But notice Paul and Silas when they're in the cell. Verse 25, it says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." They are locked up in a cell, and they are praying and singing praises. Most people in the song that they would sing while they were locked up in a prison cell would be "Gloom, Despair, and Agony on Me." Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat worms. Paul and Silas, locked in a prison cell, find a way to pray and sing praises, to the point that the prisoners in the prison hear them. Here's what I fear most of us would do today if we were in Paul and Silas's situation as Christians. We were hauled away and put in prison. It would be "Gloom, Despair, and Agony on Me." Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat worms. In the prison cell. What life-changing difference is that going to make in the lives of lost people when we're locked in our cell? Your cell may be your hospital bed. You're stuck on a hospital bed, in a hospital bedroom that aren't very nice, that isn't very pleasant, that usually doesn't smell very good. Doctors are prodding you and poking you and waking you up every 20 minutes to see if you got blood pressure still and to see if you know what your counts are and all those kind of things, and they're just driving you bananas. You're locked in this cell. You're locked in this room. You can't get up. I want up. You're not allowed to get up. And the biggest excuse we would have right here is, well, I'm locked in my room, and I'm in the cell, I'm in prison somewhere, or whatever it might be, and I've actually lost my voice. So how can I pray and sing praises? Well, we don't have to necessarily pray audibly, so we can still pray. However, the people may not see it, but, you know, it may hear it. However, could we still be a godly example by putting a smile on our face? I don't know if I can smile in the midst of tragedy. I don't know if I can smile in the midst of being in a prison cell. Paul and Silas were there, and they prayed and sang praises. I'm not trying to get to the point where we are looking again at excuses. I'm trying to get to the point where, what do we do when we're in these situations? And I'll be quite honest with you. We'll look at a few things about circumstances here in just a minute. We'll look at the cell. We'll look at the circumstances. And we're going to look at the cross just for a minute. But when we consider being in a very difficult situation, I have experienced in life, not necessarily from my own experiences, because I haven't been in the hospital a lot, but I have experienced in life that a lot of people become the best soul winners when they are put in very difficult situations, even tragic situations, when they're going and they find out they have cancer. And they go to the cancer center every week for treatment. You're consistently talking to the same nurses, to the same doctor. What kind of impact by your attitude, by your speech, by your actions, what kind of impact could you make upon the people who are around you? Life gets in the way sometimes. But the truth of the matter is, if you're praise singing and learning how to sing and praise God for the trials and the troubles that you're in, you can and will make a difference in the life of other people if we approach it that way. But if we approach it as gloom, despair, and agony on me, we've lost every opportunity to witness to those very people. But Pastor, you don't know how bad I'm hurting. You don't know what it's like being locked in a prison cell when you're not guilty. And I understand. I'm just trying to get you to think outside the box of the difference you can make. Some folks, when they get a little bit older, they're going to a doctor, it seems like, every day of the week. Instead of being locked up in your house, you're out. You're able to hand out a tract, at least. You're able to invite somebody to church. You're able to tell somebody about how you got saved. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul did every chance he got. He just told them what God did for him. On the road to Damascus, he's telling time and time again, hey, this is what Jesus did for me. I love the old song, I know what Jesus did for me. I wasn't there, the song says, by the shores of Galilee. I wasn't there when Jesus touched a blind man and made him whole. But I know what Jesus did for me. What did Jesus do for you? And in the midst of being locked in a prison cell, Paul and Silas sing and praise God and give God the glory, and the prisoners around hear it. And we all know the end of the story. The Philippian jailer and his house get saved even though life got in the way. Life got in the way for Paul. He got imprisoned for something he did. They put him in prison for talking about Jesus and those kind of things. And so he was imprisoned essentially legitimately because they had said, we don't want you doing this. However, he's in prison for doing what's right, and he's still praying and singing praises. And as a result of his praying and singing praises, a Philippian jailer and his family receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. What a difference, what an impact you can make when you're locked in your prison cell. Many people spend most of their life looking back at the good old days and say, I can't do what I once did. I used to be able to go door knocking. And what we're doing is we're missing out on the opportunities that God has given me and given us. You say, I've done this before. I didn't have time to go soul winning this week. I didn't have time to go knock on any doors this week, which I find we make time for what we really want to make time for, and that's me just as guilty as anybody else. But we say things like, I didn't have time to go soul winning this week, yet I went to Walmart 6 times. We're not thinking outside the box, are we? Every time we go to Walmart, if we go to a different cashier or a different cash register and we hand out a tract, we've at least handed out 6 tracts that week. I don't know how many people go to Walmart 6 times. I don't usually go 6 times, but we are so close that sometimes I find myself there a couple times in one day, realizing that I forgot things and I need to go right back. But if I find 6 different people and hand out 6 different tracts, tell me, have I done more for Jesus in doing that than just sitting at home complaining about I have so much work to do and I didn't get out to go soul winning? I couldn't get out and go soul winning this week. But when I went to the doctor's office, I saw 6 nurses. I saw a receptionist. I saw 2 doctors. And I never one time handed any of them a tract. Are you seeing where I'm getting? We say, I can't walk up and down those hills. I can't walk up and down. But you can get on the elevator. How many people did you just meet in the elevator? What are we doing in an elevator? What floor are you going to? Juan. Have a nice day. We just stood in an elevator with 5 people. And we missed And that elevator, for some people, seems like a cell. Some people are scared to death of elevators. In fact, I would prefer to walk if I can find the steps. Some of these places, they don't provide steps, it seems like, anymore, unless it's an emergency step. And then if you pull the door, it'll, you know, it's an emergency. Now, you're not allowed to go up the steps, which is crazy, but I'd rather take the steps. But you know what? Sometimes I'd rather take the steps because I don't want to take the opportunity to witness to somebody. You know, I heard a story about, I mean, know the great preacher Lester Roloff? I don't know how true the story is, but I was told that Lester Roloff met Elvis Presley in an elevator. And Lester Roloff witnessed to Elvis Presley in the elevator. I don't know how true this is, but this is what I've heard, so I'm just going to take it as what I've heard. And as Lester Roloff is witnessing to Elvis, Elvis hung his head in shame with tears rolling down his eyes and said, "I've been born again, but I know I'm not living like it." But somebody took an opportunity. He didn't necessarily get saved, but maybe it would make an impact. You say, well, it didn't look like it must have in Elvis's life, but somebody's it might. Elvis ended up ODing. Somebody bringing them back to salvation might just make a difference in their lives. You say, well, I was in a wheelchair in that elevator, so there was only one person in there. One person. Hey, have you been to church lately? Hey, do you have a church to go to? Hey, do you ever read your Bible? I don't know what the question may be. It can start out with, boy, it's a beautiful day, but it ought to end up with, hey, here's an opportunity God has given me. I can't get out and go soul winning on Saturday afternoons. Okay. But you're going to the hospital. You're going to the doctor's office. You're going shopping. You're putting bills in the mail. How about throw a track in there? And that's why I've got those little tracks. Those small tracks is one because they're small. They're easy to put in your pocket. They have a very, 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 very concise, simple plan of salvation. I understand that. But the reality is they're still planting a seed. The truth is there. There's enough truth in one of those little tracks that anybody could get saved if they'll just read it. You may be confined. What I'm trying to encourage you with, and some of you say, well, I've been doing that. Well, let me do this. Let me encourage you and hopefully put a smile on your face in the realization that, hey, maybe that is all you can do. Maybe all you can do is in your room, as you send out a bill in the mail, you can put a tract in there. It's more than what you would do if you did nothing, if you can't get out of the house. I'm going to put a tract in there, and if somebody read that tract, you'll never know. Wouldn't it be something if you ever got to heaven, and all of a sudden all these Penelec workers and all these people from National Fuel and all these people from Verizon and all of a sudden come up to you and say, thank you for leaving that track in that bill. One day, I actually grabbed that track and read it and got saved, and I'm here today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Wouldn't that be something? And you know what? The fact of the matter is many of us are missing out on opportunities God gives us every day. My wife and I don't know, I could slap the both of us, to be quite honest with you. Sometimes we're sitting in a restaurant, we're there for a few minutes, and we're looking at each other as we're getting ready to go pay the bill, and we look at each other and say, do you have a track? No, do you have a track? I ran out. That was my wife's excuse the other day. I just happened to have the right wallet that I remembered to put tracks in, and I had a track to give. Shame on us when we know we're going somewhere and we're not even willing to put a tract in our pocket, in our purse, in our wallet, somewhere to at least hand out. You may not be able to spend 2 hours with them. In fact, you may have just lost your voice and you can't talk to them, but you can hand a tract to them. Thank God we had a couple more tracts because my wife was talking to an elderly gentleman there who his daughter or granddaughter had just, she's in medical school and she's doing her internship, whatever you call it. I can't think what it's called. You all know what I'm talking about. But and she just delivered a baby, and he had tears in his eyes over her being able to deliver this baby. And my wife says, here, let me give you something from our church. We didn't have all day. We needed to get going. We didn't have all, but take the opportunities. I'm using me as an example because that's But I know many times, let me just be honest with you, many times we've walked away without handing out a tract. And we've missed the opportunity to at least get the gospel in somebody's hands. You know as well as I do, it's difficult sometimes to get people into church. And we may realize that we may never see them in church. So if I'm never going to see them in church, why not take the opportunity to at least leave them with a pamphlet or with a little paper, piece of paper that they might read, because it just might make the difference in their lives. I'm just trying to get us to think outside the box. I don't know where you go. Maybe you say, I just Saturdays I work and I can't go out on Saturdays. So, but I promise you this, and it may sound crazy, but the restroom is one of the greatest places to leave a track. I remember when we first came up here, Brother Paul, we used to go out to eat many times on Sunday afternoon. And Brother Paul, we'd go into Old Country Buffet, there's this big old U-shaped entryway, you know, and he would lay tracks on that whole thing. I don't know who got them. Sometimes I honestly wondered, Paul, if some of the managers weren't coming in and just grabbing them. But I don't know. But by the time he would do that when we first go in, and by the time we were out, almost every one of those tracks were gone. Somebody either picked them up. And by the way, even if it was the manager, if the manager picked it up and by chance, one time, happened to read that tract, was it worth the 3 cents for every tract that we set there the 150 times we went? Of course it would be. What price can you put on a soul? That one soul got saved. You can't put a price on that. What shall man give in exchange for his soul? Hey, when we're locked up in our cell, can I tell you this? You might be locked up in your cell, and your confinement in your cell may be your bedroom, and you may have nurses and folks coming in, home health care coming in. Excellent opportunity to be a witness. You can't get out to them, but I tell you this, you can share the gospel with them then when they come to you. By the way, last time I checked, they may not like it. However, usually it's you who are paying them. And because they want a paycheck, they don't have a choice but to listen. I'm not talking about being mean and harsh and rude. I'm just saying, hey, have you ever thought about where you're going to go when you die? Here's something that can tell you a little bit about it. Am I getting you to think outside the box a little bit? That, yes, I understand sometimes you can't do certain things. By all means, when I'm up working on the roof here at the church, I don't expect our guys who are in their 70s and 80s to be up on the roof working on the church. However, many times those are the guys who will say, oh, y'all get up there with your pastor. They barely can get up on the ladder, and shame on us young men who, when stuff like that's going on, those older gentlemen are the ones getting up on the ladder. It ought to be the younger generation. What can I do to help in those situations? You may not be able to get up on that ladder. Those other guys can. But let me encourage you this. Don't feel bad about it. Just say, you know what? I can't do that anymore, but what can I do? Are you with me this morning? What can I do? Can I write a card of encouragement to somebody? I can't get up off my recliner, so I can't do anything. Yeah, you can. You can write a card of encouragement. Today we have cell phones. People are texting all the time, emailing all the time, calling all the time. You can't leave your home. I promise you, you could call and encourage somebody who hasn't been to church for a while. You could send a birthday card. You could send a anniversary card. You can write a check and send some money to the pastor. That would be really encouraging. All those kind of things you can. Got it in there. Yeah. There's so many things you can do by thinking outside of the box. I could call the florist and have some flowers delivered to somebody. Or better yet, edible arrangements. Chocolate. I could be an encouragement to somebody who's been discouraged for a long time. What can I do? Do you realize that many young people don't have time on their hands? Now, don't take me the wrong way. We all have 24 hours. But if you have 24 hours and 12 of them every day end up being at your workplace because you work a 12-hour day, you don't have time to be sending out birthday cards to people. But the folks who can't do what that younger man can do physically can still sit in the confinements of their home. In fact, if you know anything about a computer, there's all kinds of ways. I've got an evangelist that sends me stuff, and he actually sends me cards. They're e-cards. And for holidays, he sends them for Easter and all the different holidays. And you could do something very simple like that and say, here's a card, and slip the gospel in there somewhere. I can't do that anymore, Pastor. Well, there's a lot of things you can do. I'm just giving you an idea of a few things, and I'm not just talking to older folks. I'm talking about younger folks. Some of you younger folks will say, well, I don't drive. I can't do certain things. I can't go visit anybody. No, but you can send a card of encouragement. You got time. You can stop playing on your tablet for a few moments or your cell phone and say, what can I do to be an encouragement to so-and-so? You have neighbors, don't you? Why don't you go help them? You see them raking leaves? Why don't you go grab a rake and help them? And along the way, as they begin to ask questions, you could say something like, hey, do you guys go to church anywhere? Why don't you come to ours? Are we thinking outside the box a little bit yet? No? Everybody's like, it's lunchtime. You lost me. The Apostle Paul and Silas are in a prison cell, singing and praising God, and souls got saved. What are you trying to say, Pastor? Don't tell me in the midst of life circumstances that there's nothing we can do for Jesus. On your deathbed, there's still something you can do for Jesus. I've heard of stories of nurses and doctors getting saved as a result of the last few breaths that Christians have taken. Because they loved God so much, they loved Jesus so much, and they knew they were on their way to heaven, and it made an impact on the people who are around them. Even on a deathbed? Yeah. Well, let's give you a couple more stories, and we'll finish with this here this morning. The circumstances. Say, we're in the cell. Number two, let's look at the circumstances. And we've already talked about much of it, so we'll just look at the story. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Some of you say, well, you talked about the prison cell. I may never end up being in a prison cell. Well, what about the circumstances of life that we've been talking about? And I've already really talked about what I want to say about it. I just want you to see Paul's thorn in the flesh. And in a roundabout way, this should help us to try to eliminate some of the excuses in our lives, even when we're dealing with difficulties, health issues, maybe health issues from a family member. Notice in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, for though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a what? Somebody tell me how we think about Paul today. Apart from Jesus Christ, he was probably the greatest what that we've ever seen, this world's ever seen. Christian, preacher, soul winner. Servant, guess what Paul had? A thorn in the flesh. Well, what was it? It doesn't really matter. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And whatever this thorn in the flesh was, I think it was his wife. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't his wife. I'm just teasing. He didn't probably have a wife, so... However, there's a lot of speculation about that too. And I'm not here for that. I'm not here to speculate who was, did what, blah, blah, blah. I'm here to tell you, Paul, regardless of his situation, whether it was his eyes, whether it was some other health issue that he had, Paul had a thorn in the flesh that was very extreme. At one point he says, which is the reason I've written such a large letter to you. Some people think it's because the letter was a lengthy letter. Some people believe it was because the words that he wrote, because he couldn't see, his words were so large that that's what he was talking about when he said he was writing a large letter. I'm not here to speculate that. Jesus actually healed him from his blindness, so I don't know that it was his eyes, but does it matter? He had a thorn in the flesh. Not everybody knows what your thorn in the flesh is either. Not everybody knows that you have. There's probably people here who may have sugar diabetes that not everybody knows that about them. There may be people here who have some kind of a strange sickness or disease that no one knows anything about, and it doesn't matter, but it affects you. And it is a circumstance that you are dealing with on a daily basis, and it is not easy. It is a thorn in the flesh. Notice, this thorn in the flesh, which was the messenger, the Bible says, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. It just kept railing on me and hitting me and discouraging me. But lest I should be exalted above measure, God knew. And God allowed this thorn in the flesh to be there in Paul's life. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Three times I begged and beseeched the Lord that it would depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul says, if it takes an infirmity, for me to glory in Jesus Christ, then I will take that infirmity. I will most gladly receive that infirmity. And I'm telling you, I understand this, and I do this in my own life, but people say, Pastor, I don't understand why I'm going through all these things, and I don't understand why I'm having all these health issues, and I just wish the doctors could figure it out, and let me help you to understand something about doctors. I love them, and I'm glad for them, and I'm thankful that they're there, and I'm especially appreciative when they're there for things like heart attacks and those kind of things, and they save people's lives, but they're human just like you and I are, and they are dealing with a sinful flesh just like you and I are. And they don't have all the answers, and that's a reason they call it practice. And I'm not being funny. I'm telling you the truth. I would not want to be in their shoes when some Christians come to them and say, I want answers. Why I'm going through this? Why? I don't know. And the truth of the matter is they may not know. They're studying all their books. They're looking on the computer just like you are, and they don't know the answer. They're like, I don't know. I can't explain it. I've went to them and said, Doc, this is what's going on. And I said, this is how I'm reacting to it. And no, that wouldn't happen as a result of that. Okay, I don't know, but that's how I'm reacting. That's all I see. I don't know. You know what? They don't know sometimes. And that doesn't mean they're not intelligent. That doesn't mean they haven't studied. And thank God for the years that they put in. But I'm telling you, they're human. There was a woman caught with an issue of blood that besought the doctors for years. She spent all of her living on all the doctors, and they could not heal her. These doctors are not healers. God is. These doctors are there to help you. Sometimes they don't have the answers. They're here to help me. Many times they don't have the answers. They'll try an experimental drug. You know why? Because it's experimental. We don't know if this will work. And sometimes God puts that infirmity in your flesh just, and I need to learn this in my own life. That's why I'm a little riled up right now, because I need to learn that when those things happen, when I go into the doctor because I feel like I have an infection and gloom, despair, and agony on me, I can't hardly get out of bed, I need to take a track with me to the doctor and say, Doc, can you give me some antibiotics? But let me give you the best gift I could ever give you, the truth of Jesus Christ. I'm so sick right now I can't talk to you, but this track will tell you what I need to tell you, what needs to be said. Are you getting where I'm going with this? I don't know why you have these infirmities. I don't understand them. I don't understand why I have them. I don't understand why my daughter had myoclonic seizures when she was growing up. I don't understand why she would sit at the table and she'd hit her head off the table half the time. And she'd spill her bowl of cereal, and we used to laugh at her because of it. We didn't know there was really something wrong with her. Although I've kind of always known there was something wrong with her. Love you, sweetie. I don't understand that, but do you know how many doctors we went through and how many sleep tests she went through? And how many times she went to the doctor? And I know many times you guys tried to share the gospel. You tried to at least leave a track. There were probably times where we went and didn't. There were new nurses, new doctors, and we missed out. I'm telling you, not everything is Saturday soul winning. However, I believe God's people need to be involved in it. What about everyday soul winning? What about every circumstance soul winning? We've had wrecks out here. And many times we've had wrecks, and I've went out to try to help people. We had one time, and I think I shared this one time, a guy's coming through here, and he had a load of lumber and stuff on the back of his pickup and back of his trailer, and it all fell off. And we heard it all fall off, and he heard it and realized it, and he comes back for his lumber, and we're helping him put all this lumber on there. And usually it's not me, because I'm in the hustle and bustle and rush of trying to get all this stuff back in so we don't get run over on Peach Street, you know. I'm like, Peach Street, these cars are like, vroom, vroom, and then like they see something along the road and they're like, honk, why you guys have that wood on the road? Well, we didn't do it on purpose, you know. We weren't trying to make a roadblock so you were late for work. But please don't kill us. So we're running across the road trying to get, and I'm in the hustle bustle, and all of a sudden my wife says, honey, did you give him a track? Thank God for the kids who will come out and say, here, Dad. You know my first thought sometimes, oh, you want me to go talk to this guy. Why don't you go up and tell him? Am I human? Yes. If you haven't learned that about me yet, I'm human. Listen, but it's an opportunity. Here's a track. We've had people try to give us money for running out and trying to help them. We're like, no, please just take this. We don't want your money. We want you to have Jesus. We want you to experience what we know. You know why we run out into the street to help people? Not so we hope we get killed. We run out into the street to help people because of what Jesus has done for us. As a result of what Jesus has done for us, try to think outside the box and say, let's go. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm just telling you what we need to take advantage of. Somebody drops something on the floor. Oh, a young lady dropped something dropped her wallet the other day in the store, and I got to thinking about this. She dropped it, and she was getting ready to reach down, and I was getting ready to reach down and pick it up, and I'm like, oh, you got it? And she's like, yeah, I got it. And she said, thank you for thinking of me, because I was getting ready to say, hey, you dropped, and she already realized it. And she said, thank you. You know what I didn't do? Pull out a track and hand it to her. But that would have been an awesome opportunity. Wouldn't it have been something if I could have picked up her wallet for her and slipped a track in there and gave it to her? At the same time, whoop, here you go. Whoop. She's got the gospel. Is that not thinking outside the box? I think it is. Because I think Christians are in this little box of, I feel guilty because I didn't go Saturday soul winning. Okay, you didn't go Saturday soul winning, but what did you do today for Jesus? What did you do when you were under the circumstances? What did you do when you're under the circumstances? Let me give you the last story and I'll close. Luke 23. I've already spent more than 20 minutes, so apparently I'm at the point right now in the message where I'm boring, so not boring a hole, I'm just boring, okay? But let me give you this, and I think this will help you too. You might be in the prison cell. You may be under the circumstances this morning. You may even be on the cross. I don't know if there will be a day and age where we'll be hanging on crosses again. I don't know if we're persecuted, that type of thing. I know the persecution the Bible talks about in Revelation and all those kind of things and in the New Testament. But I don't know what your cross is today, but Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Can I help you to understand today that you're all dealing with crosses. You're all carrying crosses. By that I mean you're all carrying burdens. You all have hurts. Y'all, I know we're not in the South, but y'all have pains. I guess we'd probably be more appropriate because we're a little closer to Pittsburgh yens. Yens have problems. We all do. Well, what are we going to do? Give up? Quit? Too many people just quit. They just give up. Well, I haven't led anybody to the Lord in 10 years. Is it really worth it? But what if year 11 is the year that God sends forth the harvest? And you gave up. Jesus is on the cross. As Jesus is on the cross, I want you to see what happens. In verse 39, it says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing." Of course, Jesus on the cross in the middle, with the two thieves hung beside him. One's railing on him, the other one's saying, "Hey, this man didn't do anything wrong to deserve what he's got. We did it justly. We did it. We deserve why we're here." And verse 42 says, "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in..." And it was the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Now, I want you to think about this. Is there anyone in here that thinks that they've experienced pain and suffering like Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary? Our light afflictions, which are but for a moment. I'm not trying to belittle. I'm not trying to make your afflictions sound like they're nothing. I just said, you are all carrying crosses. We are all carrying crosses. We are all carrying either burdens or health issues, all those things. Jesus Christ is on the cross. We know what happens. This one malefactor rails upon him. The other one says, "Hey, we're here rightfully so. He's not. Let him go. Let off of him. Stop. And he says, "Lord, when you enter into your kingdom, remember me." And Jesus says, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." I'm not trying to be funny, but I will tell you this. Imagine just for a moment, Jesus is on the cross. And by the way, he's not far from death. He's not far from giving up the ghost, the Bible says. Imagine if Jesus didn't even bother to listen. "Lord, when you enter into the kingdom, remember me." Could Jesus have been dead at that time? Yeah, I mean, he could have, but it wasn't time yet. But what if Jesus, and I'm glad he didn't, and I'm not trying to be funny, but what if he'd have just not said a word back? What if he'd have said something like this? "Don't talk to me right now, I'm really in a lot of pain. I can't think straight right now." I'm not trying to be funny, and I'm glad Jesus didn't do this, is what I'm trying to say. What I'm saying is a man that has been beaten like no one has ever been beaten before and unrecognizable. I understand he's God. I understand he's Jesus, God in the flesh. But Jesus looks at this man and doesn't look at him and say, "Well, you've been a sinner for too long. I don't think you really mean it. You're just, because you're in the circumstances you're in, you're just begging me for forgiveness, and I'm not going to do it because I'm also hurting and I don't want to deal with it right now." How often do we do that? We go into the doctor's office and we're hurting so bad and we feel so sick that we're like, I'm not concerned about anybody's soul right now. I'm only concerned about getting better. You say, "Well, that's human." I understand it, but Jesus is hanging on a cross. And he doesn't say to this man, "Call me later." He doesn't say, "I'll think about it. I'll think about taking a track. I'll think about saving your soul. He says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. By the way, that puts a pretty big roadblock in the minds of those who believe you have to work your way to heaven. Tell me what the thief on the cross did to work his way to heaven. He couldn't. He was confined to a cross. There was nothing he could do. He couldn't get down and say, Lord, let me serve you in the church for 20 years. He couldn't say, Lord, I got some money and I'll restore it like Zacchaeus did, and I'll give it back and then I'll give the rest of it to the poor. He couldn't do that. He couldn't work his way to heaven. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know why? Because he repented of his sins, realized who he was, and realized who Jesus was. And Jesus was not too confined. He was not too laid up under the circumstances that he did not hear and that he did not answer. But you know what happened to the other thief? The other thief died and he went to hell because he never asked Jesus for forgiveness. He never asked Jesus to remember him. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus is on the cross, thinking outside the box. Paul, thinking outside the box while he's in prison. Paul, thinking outside the box while he has a thorn in the flesh. Life gets in the way sometimes. Let me encourage you to think outside the box when life gets in the way. Stop beating yourself up with guilt because you couldn't come out on Saturday afternoon. Well, Pastor, just give me an out. I don't feel like I wanted to come. I'm talking about people who legitimately have a real reason for not coming out Saturday afternoon. I'm talking about a real reason for people who have a legitimate reason for not coming to church on Sunday morning. Don't beat yourself up over it, but say, what can I do? I'm not able to be there. What can I do, though? Can I read my Bible? Can I pray? Can I pray for someone? Can I send somebody a card? Can I do something to advance the kingdom of God while I'm under the circumstances? What can I do? Stop making excuses. Start doing. God's given us a way, and He'll provide a way for us to be able to do something for Him. Let me encourage you to do it. Think outside the box. I have a whole other message that goes along with this, but we're not going to get into that part of it. Maybe we will soon. We'll see what may can help us. Instead of focusing on some of the things we focus on, I've got maybe three things that we'll be able to look at that will help us in these circumstances. If we focus on those things, maybe it will help us to overcome some of the struggles that we're facing in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time you've given us. Thank you for these folks and their patience. I know I went long this morning, and I'm grateful, though, for the truth that is in your word. And I pray in a special way that it would have spoken to someone to realize that, Lord, we need to be able to think outside the box, and we need to be available and willing to share and to give and to do anything we can, Lord, when we have the opportunities. Which is all the more reason why when we are young and we're healthy, we need to take advantage of those times and be faithful to serve you. Just help us to serve you faithfully and love you faithfully, Lord, and we'll thank you for what you do. Bless in this invitation, if there'd happen to be one here that does not know Christ as Savior, please draw them to the saving knowledge. Bring them, Lord, down the aisle, we pray, that they would receive you and your forgiveness and eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's all stand together with heads bowed.